The love of God is commanded by Jesus to be done. But commanding love is something that you and I find ourselves amiss in doing. We don't command our children to love us. We don't command our parents to love us. We don't command them to go about that. Since God has a sovereign reign in our lives, that sets it up to be a command of doing His will. As we love a wife or love children or love right things and righteous things and things of peace, that is a part of God's great plan that we're obeying His will and doing His work as we live on this earth. It is obvious that that is the command of the Lord as He has demonstrated to you and to me and to those who ask a question of Him about the love. And He said the first commandment is this one. And when He gave that command, it was the idea of love God with all of our being. Tonight I'd like to take a further step in that regard, and that is to talk in regard to our helping our children to come to love God. In Matthew chapter 7 and at verse 12, Jesus said, "Whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also unto them." This is the teaching, this is the way of the law of God. It's the way of the prophets of God. This is the thing that you should do. As we find ourselves following the golden rule, it helps everything about our marriages, helps everything about our home life with children, helps everything about our decision making in a job and career in life. If we would do unto others only that which we would wish that they would in turn do unto us. If we would in turn wish that they would tell us falsehoods and lies and deceptions, always be late to work, always be uncooperative in regard to the work that's at hand, and the need to increase that workload so that the business will be profited, then Jesus said, go ahead and do that to others. But no one in their right mind thinks that way and does that right thing like that. In Matthew chapter 7, going on through into that chapter, He talks about, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow the way that leads unto life. And few there be that find it." The few that find that straight gate and narrow way are those who are following what God has said regarding this matter of love as well as all the other subjects He's talked about. If we find ourselves having that kind of love that ask of others to do only that which we would do to them, when we're messing it up, we're to do unto others as we would have them to do unto us. It's not the idea of doing to others before they get a chance to do it to us. That's the modern expression of the golden rule. Before they get a chance to take advantage of you, take advantage of them. The idea is by Jesus, however, to the opposite. It's the way which God showed His love to mankind through Jesus Christ. It is a love that we have and by which we exhibit that way of life to others that we're around. As we do that, we find ourselves making changes of them in their attitudes and mannerisms in life. We find ourselves doing that to them to help them to be people who know the way of God and the way of righteousness in their lives. And so we would practice the golden rule as we go through our daily walk of life. It ought to be that any kind of disobedience should have a fitting punishment to it. You and I have been punished as adults in our youth at the time that we were not paying attention. We were not obeying our mom and dad. We had punishments that were meted out to us. There may have been time where we went to a store and we took some candy that we didn't pay for. And we were summarily taken back to the store to apologize to the person to whom we stole that particular item and to return that item. Though it were just a couple of pennies or that sort of thing in that day and time, we were impressed in mind in regard to that we were punished for disobedience. But to be punished for mistakes that we make is going beyond the pale. I don't believe that God would really honor and God would appreciate the fact that parents would punish their children for common mistakes that are made. Mistakes are just that way. They're mistakes. Well, I've said to young people when I tell this story, I can read minds now, and you can read minds after I tell you this story, very likely, because I didn't look. I saw that out of the corner of my eye, and I just looked at the little girl over here across the way from me, and I read her mind. I really did. When you think about this sort of thing, you think about a mistake that's made. You think about a little hand that didn't handle the glass well, could handle the cup well. Mistakes are mistakes. Everybody makes them. Everybody doesn't pay attention to the driver on the road, doesn't pay attention to the stop sign ahead, doesn't pay attention. We learn by processes that in life, some of them are more problematic than others, and as a result we may get a fine for running a light, a running or a stop sign, that sort of thing that we didn't realize was there at the time. But we find ourselves not practicing the golden rule to the fullest when we find ourselves not holding to others what we would wish that they would do to us. Do unto others, therefore, as you would desire that they do unto you. That's a wonderful way to live and a wonderful way of life to practice, because that is the way of godliness in us. And as we do that sort of thing, we find the right things of God. In Matthew chapter 7 and at verse 20, Jesus went on then to say about this, that a bad tree or bad plant brings forth bad food and bad fruit. And everyone that is of that, he says, is hewn down. It is cut down because of the bad that comes about. When you and I know the difference in good and bad, good and evil, right and wrong, we find ourselves responsible to God. And the love that we have for God compels us to remember, this is something I ought not to do. This is something I ought not to practice. As we go back now to the passage in Matthew, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we note that this kind of love is described as suffering long. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 4, suffering long is a word for being patient, for loving in a very passive way. There's no hurry. Suffer bears it. It hopes and it endures it. And as a result, here's the way of life that we're to live in the love that we have. We're to be people who suffer long, and it is kind. Kindnesses that are done are obvious to everyone. Kindnesses can be reminders as we come home with flowers or with chocolates or with whatever, a word of kindness to be there. It can be that way of love. It can manufacture love in abundance through the years. Unless somebody has an ulterior motive. If a person has an ulterior motive and will not see the love when it's shown, will not sense the love that is there, there's hardly anything that can be done with that individual. Because that individual is sizing up not what God intends, but is making another type of explanation of it. It is said that charity envieth not. That is the idea, it's generous. It's not something that vaunteth itself up. It's not puffed up. It's not something that is so away from God and away from the activities of God. It is a way that is righteous and a way that is good. It doth not behave itself, verse 5, unseemly. That is, we don't find ourselves in a practice of life with ourselves and with others in which there is just an unsavory way of doing things, a sinful way of practice, a wrongful or sour way of doing this way of life. We're to be people who show that great love that we have for others in the practice of it, because we don't seek to be selfish in our ways. It's not easily provoked, and it does think no evil. It's not plotting and planning for someone else's harm or hurt to be done. As we illustrated from verse 6 this morning in reference to rejoices not in iniquity but rejoices in the truth, I made the application toward a drive home on the highway. But that application can be made in many facets in our daily walk of life. The idea of having someone to always tell us a falsehood, misrepresent documents, misrepresent what's the real truth of how I feel. Those type of things are not ways of love. Love is that described in verse 5 as does not behave itself unseemly, does not seek its own, and is not easily provoked, and thinketh or planneth no evil to be done. This kind of love is a love that verse 7 says bears all things. There are things that we don't know the answer to. And instead of getting into, I'll curse it out of my way, I'll profane it out of my way, I'll kick and fight it out of my way, I will be that way toward it, bearing all things. Bearing that which is not right and not good and not godly, but I don't have the answer for it. I don't have the way of describing it to the person to help that situation to change. I bear all things. Believe all things. Believe in the sense that I would be a person who believes that God is with me and that I will be blessed of the Lord no matter the circumstances that I may face. When Paul wrote that about that in Romans chapter 8 and 26 and said, we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and those who are called according to his purpose. He's talking about you and me that are part of the call. A part of the people who've obeyed the gospel of Jesus. We have a privilege. We have a wonderful blessing to come our way. Now then, when we look for that blessing to come our way, we show that we believe it, even in spite of the evil that's around us, or in spite of the hurt and harm that befalls us, we believe that ultimately good is going to be made of that. It doesn't mean, as the old preacher said through the years, and I still say in my day and time, that everything that goes in the baking of a cake or pie is good. If you took out the extracts of that or there, and you just had salt in your mouth, and just had an old taster of some kind, it might not be the thing that you would want to have. But mixed in with the sugar, and mixed in with the flour, and mixed in with the egg batter, you have a cake or a pie that is delectable for anybody. And thus, the things work together for good. And that's the idea that Paul is there in mind. There is the concept of having that love and that way of life to be your way of life. He says, hopeth all things. You hope that there is an outcome, and there will be an outcome for it. There will be something good up ahead, and I may be able to embrace it. I may be able to take hold of it. I may be able to take it in my life and say, that, hey, I look back in life and I wondered why that happened. And now then the relationship of that happening to this that is now happening. I had a hope in regard to things being different and things being better. And this hope now is realized. In love it will be that way. He says, endureth all things. There are some things that no matter what is not going to change. The hope is not going to be seen to come about as immediate as we want it. We simply have to endure that which is befallen us. And in enduring that, it may be the death of a loved one. It may be the death of someone that we were close to. We have no way of explaining the why and how. I've been to people's homes that the room stayed the very same that it was the day that person passed away in that automobile accident or unfortunate sickness that came upon that individual. And that person died at that moment in time. But the room was not touched, not done. I have a man down in Panola County that for 12 years after his son lost his life in a curve in a way, an accident, car accident, truck accident. And he was a good ball player and a good friend and a good member of family. Asked me to do the funeral service, and I did. I've always had through the years since the days of Freed Heart in 1965 recordings in my possession and recordings of what I'm speaking and doing. And so I had a recording of that, but it was never asked for. And I don't offer those things to people. Some people, it hurts them more so, I found, than anything else. And so I don't offer anything. But somebody says, do you have a recording of that by chance? Well, 11 years later, this good man calls me up one day and said, Brother Ross, you remember doing Scotty's funeral service? Yes. Do you happen to have a recording of that? I probably do have a recording of that, but it had been so many years before. Refresh my memory as to what year that was. He had on his mind and on the tip of his tongue the memory of the day, the month, the year, the season, and what the weather condition was when that took place 11 years before. I do know that people have to endure a situation without going into profanity against God or profanity against others, without getting into evil practices in life. Endure it, and love will help us do that. Because, verse number 8, love never fails. It does not fail to have love. Others will see that we have love. They see our mannerisms of life described in these verses. And they see that mannerism of life. We get a job thereby. We get work to be done. We have monies coming in. We have a future going underway. We have children that return to our lives and be a part of our lives. It's a wonderful blessing to have when they see that love in our lives never fails. He says in this regard, we are people who practice this way of life because this is the way that God would have us to understand what this love is and how to practice it. In a very practical way, I go back to how I opened this lesson tonight, and that was the way that I believe God set forth through Jesus in Matthew 7 and at verse 12 when he said, whatsoever you would therefore that men do unto you, do you also unto them. This is the teaching of God. And it's the way of life. And if I go about practicing a way of profanity, a way of vulgarity, a way of ugliness, a way of taking advantage of others, I will be a sadder person for it. Because instead of having love in my life and doing that by a loving spirit and loving way, I will be sad in my life for the results of that way of doing things. Our Lord Jesus taught us how to live it and how to do it. If we'll do that with our children and we show them the love that we have for them, we'll punish them appropriately. A beating is not the appropriate punishment for most offenses of our children in our day and time. Hardly ever would be the right thing to do. But it would be the case that we need to make a distinction between a mistake that is made from a hand and from a time and age and from circumstances in life, different than an outright act of defiance and disobedience to what we have said for them, asked of them to do. And as a result of practicing that, we show and demonstrate a way of love, a way in which we hug them at times to be appropriate, a way in which we punish them at times in order to get their attention to the fact that there are things in life in which there's going to be an employer out there that says, do this, do that, and there's not done. And it's going to rob him of profits that he will have. And he's going to come back and blame that individual. And there's a loss of a job. There's a loss of a career. And that will follow that person to the next place of employment. And there will be a call made. And can I trust this young man, this young woman, to do this, that, and the other? Whether that statement will be made, yes, you can. Or I trusted them and no. No, I was disappointed. That's why I had to let them go. This sort of thing is a way of life of real love, of practicing the golden rule and having longevity of good ways in our days. The Lord said to do that, and that's the way to do it. As we sing this song of encouragement tonight, think about your relationship to the Lord, His right way, and think about the ways in which we live. We can, as restored to the Lord, be in repentance and prayer, as Simon did in Acts 8:22. We can be people who repent and are baptized into Christ as the people did on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and 38 for the remission of our sins. Whatever your need is, the Lord is waiting for you and loves you enough to do the same. He will care for you and guide you. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love Him and are the called according to His purpose. Come as we stand and as we sing together.
Walk in worship away by sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make
me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fountain grows. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Nothing can wash sin.
Nothing but the love.